Hello, and welcome back to No Sevens. We are jumping around in the timeline a little bit. We were supposed to do Ghost Story. We're still going to do Ghost Story. We had some scheduling conflicts come up, and so we ended up just kind of watching two movies inside of this block, and the movie we're reviewing today is Dune, because I really wanted to watch Dune and then talk about it. So we're looking at Dune, reviewing Dune today, 2021, obviously a new release, directed by Denis Villeneuve. I don't know.
Nailed it.
We were just talking about like not being able to pronounce things correctly. I am confident that I pronounced his first name correctly because it's also my dad's first name. That guy is the director.
Wait, you said Denis though.
Yeah.
That's your dad's first name?
My dad's first name is technically Denis.
Wow. Yeah,
D-E-N-I-S.
I'm learning this live on the podcast.
Yeah, it's confusing because it's French, so there's not a lot of... So Caleb, you would probably look at his name and say Dennis, which many people do. It's not as grievous a mispronunciation as Haricot Verts, but close. So a lot of times he'll just go by Dennis, just to reduce confusions.
Makes sense.
Anyway, not my dad is the director, but a different Denny is the director. I think he probably just goes by Denny all the time. Also starring Timothy Chalamet, Rebecca Ferguson, Zendaya, Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, Stellan Skarsgård, Stephen McKinley Henderson, Josh Brolin, Javier Bardem, and Sharon Duncan Brewster, and Chang Chen, and Dave Bautista, and David Dastmalchian. He's got a tough
keep going too. Keep going.
And Charlotte Rampling and Babs Olus.
Babs.
Olusan Mokun, Benjamin Clementine, or Clementine. That's not a Q. Swad Ferris and Golda Rochuvel.
Surprise! This entire podcast will just be us reading the credits.
Yep. All cast and crew. Here we go.
Here we go. Let's start from the top.
Yep.
Okay, real quick. The Stellan Skarsgård. I'm assuming it's related to that other Skarsgård guy that played it.
Yeah, I think it's his dad.
Interesting. Like
Sutherland type of situation.
Runs in the family, I guess.
Yeah. The acting, you mean?
Yeah. Not the demonic clown.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, he was the fat guy.
Yeah.
Oh, villains, I hate that
playing
guy.
Villains. Yeah, he's the fat good. Floating guy.
I'm very excited about this movie. I'm excited about the movie, too. I'm excited about reviewing the movie. Because I read the book. It took me over a year to read. Not because I'm a slow reader, but just because I'm a procrastinatory reader.
Don't let him fool you. He's a slow reader.
I don't think I am a slow reader.
I feel like
a lot of people are like, I'm a slow reader. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can read pretty quickly, like the actual words, but I'm not very good at sitting down and making time to read.
So is there only one book?
There are several books.
Ah.
I've only read the first one.
Interesting.
It's very good. And I'm very excited to talk about this movie, adaptation of the book. But let's get into our non-spoiler reviews. Does one or the other of you have a preference on who goes first?
I don't. I'm getting pointed to, so I'll go. Non-spoiler reviews, I thought it was excellent. Beautiful movie. I mean, it's a little long, and definitely some heavy Star Wars vibes, just in terms of I don't know, genre kind of content, maybe a little bit. So but I enjoyed it more than I have traditionally enjoyed Star Wars movies, so I thought it was really good. It's coming out over for me, so that's that.
I also enjoyed it. It's very pretty. Acting was great. Music was great. It's going to be over for me, but my one withholding. I don't know. My one caveat is that it felt like it was made by somebody who was a fan of the books. So they probably left in some stuff that they should have cut.
Yeah, interesting. It's also an over for me. I thought they did a really good job keeping it faithful to the books. So I kind of agree with Silas, I guess, about that they did follow the books pretty closely. Thought they just did a really good job all around. There are some things that I think maybe not that they could be improved upon, but they're just kind of like trade-offs that they chose to make. But yeah, it's going to be an over for me as well. All right, should we get into our spoilers?
Spoilers. If you haven't seen it, leave now. Or
unless you've read the book,
I
guess.
The movie will be ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Three.
Okay.
The fat guy doesn't die. Oh. The fat guy doesn't get poisoned. Instead, he gets submerged in a bath of oil.
Yeah, I didn't get what that was. I was like, I was not sure how that was working.
Well, that's just bad. From the get-go, the first thought I had about this whole movie, you know, they flash up the year on the screen or whatever. This year, mm-hmm. It's like year 10,000 or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's funny how in a lot of these futuristic movies, it's almost as if society has reverted back to like very archaic ways of doing things, like in their dress and like, I mean, mm-hmm. even just like their, how they eat, like it all seems like medieval style stuff. But then of course they have this amazing technology flying, you know, they fly in spaceships everywhere and time portals and every, like all sorts of different things. And somehow or another, they've developed a medicinal healing bath of what appears to be raw crude oil. And I'm just like,
it's actually
they balsamic. They are aliens.
Well, in that case, so. I would love to top my salad with it.
Oh, yes.
Turns out.
Yeah, fat man and all.
Turns out we've had to cure all along. You just need to submerge yourself in balsamic vinegar.
Balsamic vinegar. Yeah. So anyway, it's just funny how that, I mean, you know, secrets not a out. Single cell phone in sight, but they have these little metallic, you know, disc on their heads that allows them to communicate with each other. So
yeah.
I'm not supposing that cell phones will be around in the year 10,000 if that day comes, but it is funny, just a little bit interesting how it seems like they revert back to very archaic ways of doing things, but still have this amazing technology.
Caleb, what did you think about the explanation and setup for the whole universe?
No.
Did you follow that easily? Or I kind of was anticipating that. I had even
what do you mean?
Kind of a
what do you mean, Silas? Oh, Caleb's
time,
the stupid one of the group, so there's not a chance he's going to get this.
Usually.
No. I knew David would know exactly what was going on because he's read
the primary
and is like a huge fan.
Yeah,
but
I didn't know
what was going on.
I'm just
and
kidding,
I figured
of course,
you probably wouldn't
because
either.
You're exactly right. I didn't know what was going on. So your assumption is justified. However, I think there's a couple of reasons behind that. One being when our movie, like, specifically our movie in the theater first got started, the volume was turned to like 120. It was so loud.
Oh.
And at first, I think, like, it was like that during the trailers, and I'm pretty sure everybody in the theater thought this, but nobody really said anything, nobody did anything, and we're like, okay, maybe it's just the trailers that are loud. But then the movie started, it was so loud. And then Sky hopped up, like, at the very beginning. I can only assume that he went out and, like, told somebody, because it seemed like the volume got better, so at first it was just, like, distracting. I couldn't pay attention very well. And then, like, all the the words and like the languages and the foreign like terms that they're using, like that doesn't help anything. Like I need subtitles to see what she's saying, because she's just like explaining all of this, all the different planets and like the civilization. So that is the biggest reason it's hard to follow. And if you don't have any prior knowledge going in, then you can expect to be a little confused. But I got the gist of it, you know. So, and that's pretty much how I am with all movies. As long as I get the gist of it, then I'm a good.
Yeah, not a huge gripe for me, but just something I noticed. I thought I tried to watch the older one, the 84 one, and they just like explained everything like straight up front, which, you know, is like kind of lame because they're just talking to you the whole time, explaining exactly what's going on, which isn't what you want. But I did feel more informed not having read the books. So I don't know. I think there could have been a happy medium somewhere with this movie that it kind of maybe missed.
That but was one of the things that
that's
was
neither
like,
here nor there.
I don't know if it was necessarily like a drawback for me, but it was like, it's this, I would characterize Dune as similar to like Lord of the Rings in terms of like complexity scope of like, it's a similar undertaking of like trying to take what is a pretty like complex and dense like world and make that like easily digestible to like an audience who hasn't read the books. And in some sense, it's even worse than Lord of the Rings, because in Lord of the Rings, you can kind of just go in and be like, it's a fantasy land, and then like kind of pick up on the like nuances of some of the like mechanics of the magic and stuff like that as you go. Whereas with Dune, there's like a lot of it's like very political, and so like a lot of the context for like the world that they live in is very difficult to like explain in like a movie. And even in the book, it like is somewhat, it's not like, it's not as difficult. But the author kind of like throws you into it. And then as you go, you're kind of like trying to figure out what a lot of the, there's like a glossary in the back of the book that like explains what like a lot of the words mean. Cause he just kind of like goes in and as you read along, you get it, but it's like, it's definitely like you kind of have to like learn the world in order to understand what's going on. And once you get the like dynamics of how everything like fits together, then it makes sense. But that was one of the things.
I think that's a really good comparison with Lord of the Rings and this. That's kind of the feel you get, just the size of like the universe, so, and all the factions.
That was kind of always gonna be like an issue, is like, do you, on the one hand, you can like kind of go for
it's a big challenge,
like the more distilled version, but if you do that, you're gonna alienate like the fans of the books. On the other hand, you can like try and keep everything in, but then it might not make sense. Like if you like Lord of the Rings, if you like kept everything in that actually happens in Lord of the Rings, it would have, I mean, they're the extended versions, it takes like a whole entire day to like actually like watch all of it. So,
and that brings up another point that I thought specifically about this movie. It's like, it's crazy to me that there are people out there, specifically I guess whoever wrote the book or whatever, that just think like this, that can create all of this and like and put it in a book and like just make this entire universe. Like that's so creative, and that's totally opposite of how I operate. And so I always find that really interesting. That, and I mean, it's super impressive. And I mean, this is not the only example of that, like we've talked about, but I thought that specifically going through this, I'm like, you know, sometimes we take for granted that we're just, you know, as the general public, we're just given all these movies, or especially if it's like a, you know, either the superhero movies, a lot of these are things that have just been created over the years. So we just take for granted that somebody did all this and you know, and we're just consuming it. So it's crazy. I could never.
So Fun fact. I really like telling people this fact. The author of Dune, Frank Herbert, spent a good deal of time in the Pacific Northwest, and the dunes of Dune were actually inspired by the Oregon dunes, where Silas and I spent time on the reg every summer camping.
Oh.
And I only later found out that he was inspired by the very same dunes. Yep. Yeah.
The ones in Florence? Isn't that crazy? Or like,
So maybe we can spend some time talking about things that you were confused by. And maybe we can, if you guys are confused by them, maybe all other listeners are confused by them. We can clear those up for people or try to.
Trying to think what I was even maybe confused by. It would have been nice. This is just coming from seeing the other one, or the first 10 minutes of the other one, because it was super weird. The Emperor, it would have been nice to see the Emperor. I think that would have helped me just put a face and a name to that faction of politicalness. How about you, Caleb?
Yes, I agree with you. I can't, it's hard for me to think of specific things I was confused about. I mean, like, I was confused. I mean, a lot. But there was nothing, like, that sticks out in my mind. And a lot of that confusion, I just chalk up to, there's going to be more movies. I just need to be patient and wait and figure it out. I do a decent job of following what's going on in most movies. I mean, this one is more confusing than some because of all the different, just the different languages, and there's a lot of political stuff going on that you have to try to piece together, and like, why is this happening, and a ton of different groups of people. So it can be kind of tricky to keep up with everything, but for the most part, I was pretty solid coming out of the movie as far as knowing the overall story. But yeah, definitely specific details were a little confusing. The Emperor, was one of the big guys.
I'd agree. And I'd say, is
the Bene Gesserit?
Gesserit sisters? What are they? Yeah, the Bene Gesserit.
Yes, they're, okay. I'm glad you brought that up.
That was a little confusing. Like, it took me a second to get that the Furman had a prophecy, or had been expecting the Messiah guy, whatever, instead of like the whole world expecting him.
It's kind of different.
Like that.
So, the Bene Gesserit are basically like their own faction. So like the Emperor. That's a good
way
to think
about it. They seem like they're the
Actually,
Jedi
it's funny that you said that you were getting Star Wars vibes from this, Caleb, because Dune was one of the like inspirations for Star Wars. So there's like spice in Star Wars. And there's like I think Han Solo like smuggles spice it at one point, or like used to do that back in the day. Yeah.
He does.
The whole deal with like spice is like a direct ripoff of like spice from Dune.
That was also another thing. I mean, like when in the beginning in the explanation, when she's like, "This world contains spice, the most valuable resource." I was like, "All right, what are we talking, like, you know, cinnamon or it's just weird that they just were, I mean, this one specific resource is just called spice." Yeah, and so it's just like,
no, we're talking
after you get past cooking. That, you're like, oh, it's kind of how Southerners call like all soft drinks Coke. And so I was like, okay, spice is just this one thing. It's not like, oh, we just really like spice. We're, you know, big food people, which is not at all what it was. So that could be a point of confusion for some.
Yeah, the spice is actually a drug.
Nice.
Yeah. So the Bene Gesserit are like, they're very, very similar to the Jedi, but they're a little bit more morally agnostic, I guess. Or like, so with Yeah, what they're basically like less behind warrior-y. The scenes, like manipulating everybody, and so they have a lot of abilities for that. So like, they have that voice thing where they can like basically like they can like if they spend enough time around somebody, they can pick up on their vocal inflections and then use that to like control them. This is during so just to kind of contextualize this universe. I believe there was like a war. They had like a Skynet situation where they had like a machine uprising with like AI, and they beat the machines. But after that, they stopped using machines. And so there's like rules about like certain types of, like they can't have AI. So instead of having like AI, they use the spice to like elevate their like cognitive capabilities. So yeah.
So that's yeah. How, so like, that's about, how like, the navigators
are able to like navigate through space. They have to have spice in order to be able to like do it. And I think the guy, Thufir, with the guy with the little tattoo on his lip, like he's a Mentat, and so they're basically like human logic machines. And so I think they use no, maybe they don't. Maybe they're just like super smart. Anyway, I think they go through special training to be Mentats. But so the Bene Gesserit have all these like abilities that they can use to like manipulate people behind the scenes, and they've got like deals worked out with like the political factions. So that's like kind of like how so like Jessica is a Bene Gesserit, but she's not actually like Duke Leto's wife. She's like technically his concubine.
Yes. Okay. That confused me too. Did not even know that. Apparently, it was mentioned somewhere throughout the movie. I just assumed the whole time it was they were husband and wife. And then, so that like whole witch people, the Bene Gesserit sisters, that's what we're talking about. I got the impression that one lady, put your hand in the box. I have a needle to your neck. Her.
Yeah.
The mother, whatever. She's not the actual mother of the queen. I'm just going to call her the queen. I don't remember her name or anything.
No. It's kind of like a nun thing.
Okay. Right. Just a really evil, mean nun.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. Yeah. It's the terminology is similar to like nuns of like, it's like mother, whoever. It's not a literal mother. It's like just, that's like their title. But their goal is to like, they're trying to create this Kwisatz Haderach, who is like this like super being, right? But they're doing it through like secretly like breeding humans with like crossing bloodlines through like marital connections and stuff like that, like over like centuries, right? To try and like create this Kwisatz Haderach. So that's like their secret goal. That's like the whole thing that like Jessica and the Reverend Mother like talked about in the rain. And when she was like, you're not supposed to have a boy, you're supposed to have a girl. Because like Jessica has like a directive from like the Bene Gesserit about like what she's supposed to do. Like as like Leto's wife, like there are certain like she has got like a sub job inside of this like grand mission, and the Bene Gesserit have the ability to like control like they can control the gender of like the child that they conceive and stuff like that. So like she was not supposed to bear a son for Duke Leto. So that was like a like she went like against her like directive or whatever when she had Paul. And so, but their whole mission is to like create this Kwisatz Haderach guy. With the Fremen, they have like, so what the Bene Gesserit also do is they also like seed these like versions of they basically like seed like mythology inside these planets. So that they can use them to like manipulate the people. So like the whole time where like all the Fremen people thought that like Paul was this like prophesied like Lisan al-Ghaib, like Messiah figure, is because the Bene Gesserit had been on that planet like creating that mythology so that they could use it later to like manipulate people. So they like they do that on like all the planets.
Interesting.
But it's not always like the same mythology, if that makes sense. So the like Kwisatz Haderach thing is like kind of secret for them, but then they like told a version of that story to the Fremen so that they could use that to like kind of like control the population of the planet and stuff like that. If that makes sense.
Interesting. But
there are also like elements of that are kind of like bigger than they realize. Because Paul is actually the Kwisatz Haderach. So like he's also, it's sort of like meta, or like this meta thing where they planted this these like prophecies there, but also Paul is actually like kind of fulfilling the prophecies or like stuff like that.
Mm.
And they also have like kind of like shared consciousness stuff that goes on. It gets a little weird in the second. It'll get weird in the second movie because this is like the first. This movie is actually the first half of the first book. So the second movie is like actually just the second half of the first book, which gets very kind of trippy. So that's going to be interesting for sure. Does that make sense? That was kind of a long explanation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Should we talk about some of the actual like movie elements?
No, I think we should continue to explain the plot through the book.
No, gotcha.
I'm kidding. Oh me. Yeah, let's talk about the movie.
Did you guys like the music?
Yes. I mean, in short, I'd never pay attention to the music for the most part.
Yes.
I mean, like, especially just like the score. If it's like a songs, you know, throughout the movie, like actual songs or, you know, with lyrics and that kind of stuff, then I might notice or remember it a little bit better. But I mean, I thought it overall, it was not distracting. The music was not distracting. And as a matter of fact, it was probably the opposite to where it really did a good job of like setting the mood for whatever scene. So I mean, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was really good and very interesting too. Trivia is Hans Zimmer was a big fan of Dune, and he turned down working on Tenet
after David just roasted him in the last review.
I was gonna say. I think I know why the Bond soundtrack was so bad. Is because he was working on this. It wasn't bad, but it was just so generic, I guess. It's because he was working on this. I thought he really did a good job with this. I didn't think it was like groundbreaking for him, but it was definitely much more original and just much more. A little bit more outside the box for him. I was really impressed with the incorporation of the bagpipes, honestly. Like, really, when he was like, had the bagpipes go in and that kind of like integrated into the soundtrack, I was like, wow, you did that was good. You made the bagpipes cool. Like, you like made that really, really work.
It's lit.
So, you know, props to you, Hans Zimmer, for working in the bagpipes in just like a cool way.
I had a very specific thought when that when those appeared in the movie. I almost leaned over. I don't remember who was sitting beside me, but I almost leaned over and whispered, like, out of all the things that survived like 8,000 years of history, the bagpipes made it through. Like, that was just like so the funny bagpipes. To just like, see them. I was like, oh, okay, cool. They're still rocking with the bagpipes, like using a stinking like goat bladder or whatever they use to like make the actual bag.
The planet that they came from, kind of House Atreides, kind of looked like
there's
Scotland.
There's some interesting,
so
weird, like,
kind of give it to them.
Like, very, I guess, callbacks, like, just very, like, not, like, just, like, older stuff. Like, the fact that Duke Leto's dad is, like, a bullfighter. This is kind of, like, random, but cool. Also,
yeah, and they kept, like, referencing that, like, we were supposed to know something about it. And they never even, like, there's no, like, deeper meaning, at least, besides the dad, like, telling, like, Oscar
it's
Isaac.
It's sort of a, like,
Timothy
foreshadowing
about it, like,
of,
a little bit.
Duke Leto's death, I think. It's kind of like a parallel, right? So, like, his dad is, like, this bullfighter. He gets killed by this bull. By the way, the bull head that they have, like, mounted, that is, like, the bull that, like, killed his dad. So he has that bull on his wall. For some reason, which is kind of interesting. But I think it's just kind of like just like parallel of like Duke Leto going to Arrakis is kind of like the same. It's kind of like the same family pattern of like he kind of goes in knowing that like it's a trap, and knowing that he's maybe gonna die. Like he's gonna try and work it, but he also is very aware of like the fact that like something's like not right, you know what I mean? But he kind of has to go along. It makes more sense.
I get it, but it's a stretch. I mean, the bullfighting is just like stupid, like,
yeah,
arrogance.
It makes more sense in the book,
hubris, but
there's just kind of like not there wasn't like that's one of the things that they probably like needed to. Not like needed to cut, but like it's good that they didn't spend a lot of time on it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys like the action sequences?
Yeah, I thought they were.
Do you guys like the
Sardaukar? High tier.
Good. Who was that?
Those are the guys in the white suits that like float.
What
down
was that?
Silently.
Yeah, there was a lot of, I mean...
Yeah, they were cool.
Were those like the special, like, army of the Emperor?
Yeah.
Those remind me of the orcs a little bit.
The Emperors,
yeah. That's a good way to think of them. They're the equivalent of the
They're like bred to do this.
They're not actually bred. So what they are is like... Seleucus Secundus, sorry, is a prison planet.
Going back to the book, I see. No, I was kidding.
Yeah. It's a prison planet, and so it's basically like a really bad version of like 1700s Australia. Like they just like send all of their really bad criminals to like this planet, and then they become like because it's like
expert warriors.
Yeah. Well, it works. They get like
that's
paid
a lovely
really well.
Plan.
So basically, they just become like these super savage like death troopers, and they like get whatever they want basically.
Interesting. So let's take all of our criminals and instead of rehabilitating them, let's make them worse.
Turn them into death troopers. Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I hope they have a kill switch.
There is some sort of like indoctrination or something like that, I think. The idea is that the conditions on Seleucus Secundus and Arrakis like parallel each other. Like they're both like extremely, extremely harsh environments, and that's why the Fremen are just as formidable as the Sardaukar. Which is like unthinkable because the Sardaukar are like the super soldiers. So that's like why it's kind of like significant. But yeah.
I saw one review of this that was really popular on Letterboxd, and it was somebody who said, if you like looking at the color orange and watching emotionless acting, this is the movie for you. So some people will find it slow.
That's fair.
And very orange, I guess.
Like desert planet, so you're gonna get some.
Yeah, that didn't bother me. And the pacing was slow, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't annoyingly slow, you know, because there's still, like we talked about, good action and relatively interesting. But it did feel like plot-wise, it was
paced it
kind of
almost perfectly.
That doesn't bother me.
Given the like amount of like stuff that they had to cover, like there's a lot of stuff that happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff. And it felt like a slow burn.
Yeah, it is
like
very much a slow burn. I will say there will be a giant battle scene at the end of the second movie. So,
ooh, spoiler.
Yeah. And hopefully a lot. I was really excited to see the Fremen fight this Ardokar, because that's like a really significant thing of like they'll just like, they can like kind of just like pop out of the sand and like sneak attack. And so yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. It was very pretty.
Do you guys feel like the acting was emotionless?
No, not really. I mean, it was really serious, but I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the movie. I heard someone, like, I went with a group of people, and I don't remember, somebody made the comment coming out, like, they wish there could have been, like, a tad more humor. And I don't think they mean that as far as, like, laughy, jokey, but, like, it was kind of heavy. Like, the whole movie was kind of heavy. It's just, like, you know, and so I think they just wish that maybe there could have been broken up with a little bit more, or a little bit lighter moments.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah, because Duncan is kind of like the only comedic relief, and he dies.
Also, someone said they hate Jason Momoa without a beard.
Yeah,
so like I was instantly turned off.
That's kind of funny because
it was
beard
a female
not
who
like,
said this. So
his beard is like not that like it's like very like kind of like not like scraggly, but just like.
Not great, like not super thick.
It's very, yeah. Like I think his beard just like gains probably like 20 to 30% of thickness just by how jacked he is. It's just like that just makes his beard look like 20 to 30% more robust than it actually is in real life.
Even his beard has muscles.
Yeah. So
his beard is jacked.
I thought that he was a good pick for that role. I think he did well because I've never really thought of him as being like that robust of an actor, but I think he did well.
I will say this is one more reason to name my future son Duncan. Y'all know that's always been a name on the top of my list.
Yeah, but it's been on the top of both your son names list
Duncan's
and your dog
name.
Names list.
It just seems whichever happens first. I don't discriminate.
Like this cast,
yeah.
Like, I think it had to be like I was thinking that like it had to have this many superstars because it is such a technical movie, I guess if you want to call it like that. Like for most people, if they're not at least somewhat aware or like interested in sci-fi style movies, they're probably drawn in purely by the cast list alone. Like, I saw people in the theater. Of course, you can't judge a book by its cover. But, for example, it looked like maybe a group of high school / early college girls, like, full group of girls.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they were only there for Zendaya. And Timothy, yeah. Timothy Chalamet,
I
mean, too.
I thought they were only there.
And I don't blame them on the Zendaya part,
at all.
So, yeah. So,
get out of the theater.
So, but yeah, you're exactly right, Silas. It was a star-studded cast for sure.
I am very excited to see more of Javier Bardem.
Yeah, he's a good pick for Stilgar. Yeah.
I thought that was like such a good character for him.
It's going to be hopefully we'll see more of him. He has an interesting dynamic with Paul. and Jessica. So
it sure seemed like it. Yeah.
Also, fun fact. So since you know how Paul like kills that guy at the end of the movie,
mm-hmm.
Now he like gets that guy's mm-hmm. family.
What?
kind of, but not
like
exactly.
A slaves? Mm.
They're not
just
really
like
slaves.
Just like I was talking about earlier, reverting back.
Okay.
They're like he's like by default.
Oh no.
I think that guy's wife is now his concubine or something like that. And he's sort of like in charge of that guy's kids. Because that's like how the Fremen, you know, thing works.
Okay.
So, I don't know if they'll keep that part in though. I guess they could just leave it out. They're not really very significant characters. Dark. They're just kind of like there.
I like how you just casually slipped that in. Yeah, you remember how he killed that guy? Yeah. Well, he now owns their family. Okay, let's go on. What'd you guys?
And he
what
gets
parts
all of
didn't
his
you
water.
Like? Yeah. Oh, what? There was that one scene where I don't know how to classify her. She wasn't a Fremen, but she was I don't know. Yes, the doctor lady. Mm-hmm. When she got stabbed.
Oh, the doctor
the back,
lady.
And no blood. Yeah. Boom, just water. I was like, wow, that's crazy. I don't know if that's symbolic or like metaphorical for like water's more important than blood in this society, but you just don't expect water to come spewing out when someone gets stabbed.
Interesting.
But that just goes to show you how valuable a resource that is.
Well, part of it's because her stillsuit was punctured.
Well, of course, but
yeah. So, another fun fact.
Keep them coming.
I guess so. That character in the books is a guy. I was fine with the fact that they changed it to a girl. It's not doesn't really impact the plot at all. But so I guess that would make her Chani's mom, because in the books, Liet Kynes is her dad. And Stilgar is her uncle.
Huh.
So.
Interesting. Yeah, Zendaya's like
pretty
whole
much.
Job.
She'll have.
Is just
she'll do more
pretty...
in the second one. I mean, she's sort of like. Yeah, I think so. I'm sure she'll have
Will
a lot
she,
more
though?
Fighting scenes. Well, I don't know actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's just kind of. She's like Paul's love interest. I don't know.
Just saying. Yeah, not much of an actor, maybe.
I was like, for as much as she was hyped up, like in the trailers, the movie, all the stuff, she basically only came in like the last 30 minutes.
Like 90% of her screen time was slow-mo, tight shots of her.
She's
going to
be a significant character in the second half, but as. Just when she shows up in the story, there's a whole villain that they haven't even brought in yet.
Ooh, I love love unrevealed
really,
villains
that I'm excited about.
I thought Lady Jessica probably had the most range acting wise.
Yes,
would you agree? Because she had like all the emotional stuff of like Paul. Doing whatever with the creepy lady, and then she fought them, and then she was in the desert, and then at the very end, the Fremen. It was like, she is there the whole time.
I can't wait till we get to his baby sister. That's gonna be so weird. So, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, come on, David, quit being the book guy.
It's gonna be
don't spoil a movie that's
David's
not out
looked
yet.
The script already.
I mean, they followed the book very closely, so I'm assuming they're going to do the same for the second part. Scene with the hot air balloon type deal where the
yeah, you talking about the CGI?
Yeah, what was
terrible.
That?
Terrible.
So random.
I know, it's just like...
It's like they just...
I don't know. It's like I got like a kindergartner to do it. At the very
I think
end.
They just like, they like forgot. They had a whole extra year to work on this movie. They still forgot to finish the CGI in that scene.
Yeah, that was obviously noticeable or memorable. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So
Other than that, although the CGI was really good.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
Man, I was...
The worms,
I wish
really
we could have
cool.
seen more of them.
Because I always wish they spent more time
there
on
will
that
be
in Star Wars. So this is nice.
You wish they spent more time on what, the worms?
Sweet. Yeah, in Star Wars, and that planet
that has
all the holes in it that they hide in, and there's like a worm. And then the Sarlacc, too.
You're just really interested in people planet. Being eaten by like worm-shaped.
It's super interesting.
Well, yeah. There'll be plenty of... Oh, yeah, the Fremen like worship worms. Like, yes.
And ride them, apparently. That was, like, the most...
Yeah.
There's actually a really good explanation for, like, how they do that. It's, like, very... It, like, makes... It's, like, do you want me to explain it now, or do you just want to wait for the movie? It's not really, like, an important plot point, but... Okay, so, you saw the hooks that she has?
Sure, you can explain
it. Okay, so, you know how, like, on, like, an earthworm... Yeah. There's, like, that weird, like, kind of thicker part?
Looks like a Band-Aid.
Yeah. So the mm-hmm. worms like have kind of like a thing like
that. Yeah.
And so basically what they do is they summon the worm with a thumper, and then as they have figured out like where to stand and like the positioning and all that stuff and the timing. And so what they do is as the worm is like up at the surface, they use those hooks and they like grab onto the worm, and there's actually like a like scales there that they like fold, they like pull back. And so like basically it's basically kind of like, think of it, doesn't work the same as gills, but same kind of concept. And basically like while they hold that open, the worm like won't go underground, because like that, like it'd be like, you know, like if your mouth is open, you'll get like sand in your mouth, similar. So they basically use that to like manipulate the worm. And so they can use like the worm will always like keep that above the sand, because it can't like go underground while they're like pulling that like scale back, and so that's how they like steer the worm and stuff. And so there's basically like a certain amount of time that they can ride the worm before it gets tired.
Ride
the
worm.
They just, it's basically like worm Uber, where they just like use the like thumpers to like summon them, and then they like hook on and ride them and use that like that like opening in order to like manipulate where they go and stuff like that.
Interesting.
So,
except the worms don't get
it, actually
paid
makes
in
a lot
situation.
Of sense.
Funny.
What?
You said it's like worm Uber, and I said it's, except the worms don't get paid.
No.
But they also eat.
But I guess
people,
if you
so.
Mess it up, they get dinner.
So. Yeah. Also, it seems like, I mean, can you imagine a worm that big, one person, that's like us eating like one Rice Krispie. I mean, useless. And they're also devouring entire machines. I mean, they just eat everything.
I guess, yeah, that was kind of weird. Like, I guess food is so scarce there, sure.
Yeah.
But also, they're so big, they would need to eat so much.
I don't think they're eating things like,
right.
for food. I think it's more of like a territorial thing. Yeah.
Oh, then how do they eat underground?
They don't
then?
Eat like... humans, they like
okay.
Feed off of the, I don't know, the ecology of it is really weird, or I don't like, it's complicated, I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
They're like earthworms, you know.
Yeah, they eat earth,
but just giant, and also attack anything that has rhythm.
Gotcha.
Movements.
Right.
Oh, I didn't like how they did the drum sand.
Yeah, just like earthworms.
The drum sand.
What is
they
that?
Just made it like as if the sand was a drum, but what happens is when you step on drum sand is that it actually like starts to vibrate.
I don't know what drum sand is. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Remember when they were walking, Paul and Jessica were walking, and then he like hit that spot.
Oh yes.
And then they like accidentally called the worm. They like ran into drum sand.
Did they specify that in the movie? Because I did not catch that at all.
He just was like, "It's drum sand, run!"
Oh.
So they didn't really like go into depth.
Yeah,
but
that must have been a part where there's a lot of parts where I wish I had subtitles. That was one of them because I did not catch that at all.
Through his thick French accent?
Yeah. Timothée.
Timothy E.
But other than that, I mean, there were really no specific things that I didn't like. So I thought it was good. I was entertained coming out of the movie. And as you guys know, that's my standard of quality. So.
All right. Should we just get into our final reviews and tell us if you have any trivia for us?
Yeah, let's do it. There's not like a terrible lot of trivia. The Hans Zimmer one. And then the guy who directed the old one, he said he had no interest in directing this one because the first one was like a heartache and a failure for him. So,
oh, good for
I
him.
Think he was a producer on it, though.
Is that David Lynch?
Following this, right?
Yeah. To be fair,
yes.
There's quite a bit of filmmaking technological advancements that have come along since he made that one. So,
yeah. I also didn't realize that the director, Denis Villeneuve, he did Blade Runner 2024 or whatever.
2042?
I forget what it is. Yeah, 2042. He did that. But that's kind of
I'm going to give it like an 8. It's a high 8, but if I'm just doing buckets, it's probably still an 8. I think the next one will probably make it to a 9 just because it'll be like, this one is a lot of like world building and plot exposition. So I guess in terms of like Lord of the Rings, this is like Fellowship of the Ring, which is pretty good, but definitely not as good as like the following ones just because there's more stuff that happens in the following ones that's like exciting and interesting. So it's like a high 8 for me.
Yeah, it's an 8 for me too. So, I mean, I have no, you know, extravagant explanation for it. It's an 8. It's good. I mean, I thought it was really good. I looked at just stills from the original, the one back in the 80s, and I was like, I mean, I can't imagine. It looked terrible. just the pictures looked terrible. So, yeah, I think they did a good job.
Yeah, it's also an 8 from me. Just all around solid acting, shots, music, good stuff. A lot of world building, like you said, David, set up for the next
also,
one.
Also, I just want to say, I thought the design better. Of all of the like sci-fi stuff was really good.
Yeah, it was very clean. It wasn't like Star Wars is...
Yep.
Kind of cheesy, you know? But this was very like minimalistic, and I honestly, if they like, can run with this, I might like this better than Star Wars as like a sci-fi.
Yeah, I
kind of
hate Star Wars as it is, so
just throwing that out there.
Did you say you hate Star Wars?
Maybe that's a little strong. I just do not get it. I mean, not that I don't comprehend it or understand it. I don't understand the appeal at all. I mean, it's just.
You don't get the hype.
Yeah. I can't, especially trying to watch those originals, the prequels or whatever, or the stinking. And it just, don't even get me started. It makes no sense all the way around. Why on earth do you start with episode 3 or whatever they did? 4? I don't even know. That just makes no sense.
Oh, man.
And them coming out.
I mean,
like,
there is a reason.
Well, whatever. And
yeah,
it just,
it's out of scope.
We can't get into that. Like,
it is terrible. Just so stupid to me. So anyway, I know it's going to ruffle some feathers, right. And I'm not a movie guy, whatever. But take it for what it's worth. Yes, that's right, Silas. I am becoming
a movie guy.
You literally are 1/3 of a movie podcast.
Don't let anyone take that from
really
you.
Can't say you're not a movie guy.
I'm just here to add color
that's
commentary,
right.
Basically.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I guess. Let's see. Do we cover everything? Do we do all of our segments?
Yeah. We
well,
just
I guess
to,
it's Ghost Story.
Yeah, that'll probably be the next
what's
episode.
Next, like. But is
Yeah.
Are there any new releases coming out after this? Because guess what, guys? I just signed up for the Regal Unlimited subscription. So I could see, I mean, theoretically, I could see multiple movies every single day. But so I'm all in. I'm ready to watch whatever.
Say
I love watching movies. I'm just not good at analyzing them.
I'm trying to see what's coming. Here we go. Coming.
There's a new Marvel movie.
Soon.
The Eternals. There's... And we don't have to do new releases, obviously, but...
Well, it'd be nice to see.
Oh, I think for also,
let's see. In
we don't have to get into this now, because David, I know this is going to strike a chord with you. But before Dune, saw the trailer for Batman. Bro.
Ooh.
Seeing that in theaters, like seeing the trailer on the big screen with the noise, I was like, this is hype.
How would we feel about the
I don't want to watch that one.
I think it's rated R. Maybe
Wes Anderson is good director, but just like very indiscriminate about nudity.
Yeah.
I think, there
will be it's also R, so.
Riverdance, the animated adventure, November 5th.
He went, that's the total opposite extreme. Coco Melon, the movie, is coming out. Do we want to...
What about the Last Duel?
I did
want to
see that one. Does that come
out? I don't even know what that's about, but it looked interesting. It was like
there
a
are some
one-time
really good ones. It looks like coming out like in the next month
weird
or so.
Thing.
Where is
the Last Duel? Is
it
as
out?
Long
can
as
see
Dune?
It? Like, what's the deal with it? I don't see it on. Oh, it's already out.
It's out. It's got like super.
There's also, I mean, I'm just looking at the next few weeks. Ghostbusters coming out, Top Gun, another Mission Impossible. I mean, there's.
I thought Top Gun already came out. And we just didn't
does
see
Top
it.
Gun come out soon?
On the notes, it says 11/19.
Oh, maybe they pushed it back. Probably. I don't even see it.
Oh, they're making
a
new
with,
West Side Story?
Ansel Elgort.
December 10th.
I'm just trying to... for some reason, this isn't a very great good experience. West Side Story would be good to see. We can watch Spider-Man when it comes out.
So, I mean, if we're looking at it in terms of, like, what's
the new
coming
Matrix?
Out, it's the Eternals are coming out, like, this weekend.
Yeah. I don't know if I mean, you guys want to see that one? I just am not caught up on Marvel, so.
Yeah, I didn't see the new one that came out. What was it, Shang-Chi?
Same.
Or I didn't see that one. I mean, like I just said, at this point, I'm good to see anything since I got that subscription, which I know not everyone has.
This says Top Gun
so
comes out May
again.
27th, 22.
I would say. Ghostbusters Afterlife is one to consider. There's also one called King Richard that's about Venus and Serena Williams' dad.
Oh, yeah. That looks
has
like
Will
it
Smith
good.
In it. So
oh,
that's
I saw that.
I haven't seen any trailers or anything.
I saw a trailer right before the right before Dune. That one could be fun.
It also has John Bernthal. He's like, I think, the coach.
So that might go on the list. I think West Side Story would be good to do in a little bit. Looks like we have some space to do some other like ones
fun
on our list that we
let's decide off the air because we know Ghost Story is going to be the next episode.
Oh yeah, I thought we were just kind of having a conversation.
Oh,
but we're watching Ghost Story next, so.
Look at this. This is like the some kind of navigator from the 84 one.
That's not what I was imagining.
Yeah, look at the weird like. No, they made it so strange.
This looks like a a it's gerbil like a fetus brain. Or something.
Whoa.
There's a whole website, duneinfo.com.
Yeah.
See, this is when it gets too much. This is where I'm like, I'm out. Duneinfo.com.
Yeah, same though.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. I guess we're done.
All right, that's a wrap. Peace.